feel blessed to be here again. I was here in April teaching a course on family relationship, and when I was contacted and asked to come back to do workshop, I thought it was only two for me, but it grew to be six. So I'm really happy and excited to present a topic called Marriage Builders. The reason I came up with this topic is that we are called to build family relationships. No matter how you build it, you are building it. So the subtitle is You Can Do It and God Can Help. Does that sound familiar? From Home Depot. I believe. That's my belief. It's that by God's grace and love, you can do it. Otherwise, God will not. Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot to turn on that.
Yeah, make it silent.
The subtitle.
Yeah.
Okay, the subtitle is You Can Do It, God Can Help. And I believe that the reason God uses marriage as an institution is that He trusts us. However, we cannot do it alone, by ourselves. We need to depend on God. So it's a partnership between husband and wife with God. So that's the topic. The task, I'm going to use like building as a metaphor, starting from foundation, window, door, roof, and okay. I do not receive commission from Lowe's or Home Depot. But just to give you an analogy in terms of how we build a family life. Okay? That's the reason. Foundation, windows, door or doors, roof, plumbing, furnace, decoration. There are some other things you may think important, but those are the things that I'm going to touch on today. And when you go home, you can brainstorm with your spouse and come up with different ideas. It's Saturday morning, so I found some jokes. Seven. I'll let you read. First one talks about guys. Two times, we don't understand a woman. And we are still confused, maybe. By the way, they are coming from internet. It's not my statement. Okay? So I don't take credit. I like this one. Marriage is a war in which the enemies can sleep together. Okay? Does anyone sound familiar? That one's me, right? I like the last one. Right? I believe not only ladies in this room, probably all the women in this world would prefer their husband to be an archaeologist. Because what archaeologists looks for? Antique. The older an antique is, the higher the value. So I'm going to use the analogy of building as a way to talk about marriage, talk about relationships, because that's how we are doing. Okay? So marriage takes both the husband and wife to work together. Whether you like it or not, that's a way, especially for those who are already married. Do we have anyone in this room who is not married? Okay. So everybody's married. So good. We are on the same, you know, same boat. So working together using the same blueprint, that's the Bible. Okay? Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to us as we pray, as we seek, as we ask God. You know how many times I ask God, God, show me how to be a good husband. Even though I was trained in pastoral counseling, I was trained in child and family studies. I know a lot of theories, tricks, not tricks, skills. But many times, I cannot use them. Just like Paul mentioned, the things I want to do, I cannot do it based on my flesh. Especially when you know your own weaknesses. I know my own weakness is that when I'm tired, I tend to lose my temper easily. When I have too many things on my plate, so what's going on? Or when your wife is not happy. So each person needs to know his or her own weaknesses and strength. But also I found that peace and joy are two important indicators. They work like thermometers in a household. Okay? The thermometer, we know when you feel hot, it's hot. You need to take, you know, jacket off, take things off. But when you feel cold, what do you do? Put things on. How do you know that you have peace in your family?
Quiet.
Quiet? Okay. Yeah, quiet. So just get all the kids out of the house. Thank God. And many times I found this, you know, when I'm home by myself, or this what my wife say, when she's home by herself, she feels kind of like spiritual. Oh God, I love you. I love you. But when all the people, everybody's home, God, where are you? You have fights, you have disagreements, you have all kinds of issues. But how do we keep a sense of peace, the presence of peace among all the busy things going on? That is what we need. What about joy? How do you know that you have joy in your family?
Yeah.
Laughter, yes. That's important. How do you make each other laugh? You say, oh, right. No, that's not what I meant. But how do you really enjoy the moment? You don't feel like tense. You don't feel stressed out. You just enjoy it. Let me share one story. Like on the Christmas week, for some reason, my son's school district decided to have a whole week off. Monday till Sunday. It's like, wow. And as you know, my son is only 10. When you have a kid who is 10 whole week with no school, no classes, what do they do? So we decided to take him to a science museum, and we call and found out that it's a new place. And we moved from Pennsylvania, so we've been to many, many museums in Washington, D.C. A lot of great, nice, and you know what I like the best? Free museum. Compliment. Lunch. So we call this place. And say, oh, this is new. It's called Science Discovery Center. It sounds really big. When we go in there, it's really small. And it's not cheap. It's like $7 or $8 per person. I said, wow, I told my wife, should we go? Should I go? No. I mean, I'm just debating. But we went. And a lot of things were really, in my mind, in my wife's eyes, boring. To be honest, but we were laughing because we said, hey, why not? You pay the money, why don't you just, you know, enjoy? So we were laughing because some of the game you just try to hit a golf ball into a hole. That's it. But we were laughing, but if we just stick with the amount of money we pay for admission, we say, oh, this is a lousy place, it's too small. You lose your joy. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Many times when a family, when husband and wife do not have peace and joy, they feel tired, emotional. Okay? You feel exhausted. you feel wonder why I'm here. So the presence of God in our strength comes from peace and joy. And we can really kind of make it as indicators. How do we know? How do I know whether I have peace? Do we fight? I don't mean that we just keep quiet all the time. But when we have conflict, how do we resolve and restore peace in our relationship? How do we try to make our, to do our best to keep joy or to invite joy in the relationships? In the past, I didn't know about this. I know these two words, peace and joy, but I didn't know how important they are in family relationships. And my wife knows this now. So sometimes when I was about to lose my temper, my wife said, hey, be careful. We're losing our peace. We're losing our joy. So, but I got to say something to my son, you know? And afterwards, whether you're building relationship or you're destroying relationship, sometimes we put some raw materials into the building process, or we can always come back to fix. Also, it's important to take emotional trash out. Let me ask a question. In your house, who takes out the trash each week? Husband. Why? Why don't we keep the trash in the house? Smells really bad, right? This is common sense. Is it common sense? Plain. Straight. Common sense. But think about this. How many times you let trash build up in your emotion? Between you and your spouse, you and your children. I don't like the way she does things. And you didn't say anything. You just put a trash in and just let it build it up and to a point. When she does something and you let it all out and she was confused. So it's really important how we look into our emotions and really take out those trash from time to time. And there are some ways to do those kind of things. Time and place are important. We don't take out trash to our spouse in public, especially on Sunday when you go to church. Okay, this is the time. Everybody's here. Listen! This is what she did to me in my house. Bad choice. Poor choice. Okay? And also, place. Place is important. Timing is important. If you know that you have to rush to some places, especially when you need to take your kids to school or other places, that's not a good time to take out your trash, emotional trash. Say, we gotta talk now. No. But periodically, examine your relationship. Do you feel something that is stinky? In your house, you know when you have a lot of trash, you know that. I always tell my students when I'm teaching in college, I say, I wish each person there's some buttons built in when we were born. When I'm angry, there's a red light up. So everybody knows that. And when I say that, a lot of ladies, yes, I like that. Right? I'm angry. Don't talk to me. I need a hug, please. But that's not how we were designed. Right? So it's important to pay attention to some little things. I know from my wife, sometimes when she doesn't talk, that light is on. You better talk to me. Or when she was cooking in the kitchen, she was cutting things really loud. She was chopping vegetables. Easy. Those vegetables are pretty innocent. And to many husbands, we thought the knife was dull. Just some husbands say, hey, honey, do you need to buy a new chopping knife? I don't need a new knife. And you can tell from some experience, you say, what did I do wrong? Do you need to talk? And for the first couple of years in my marriage, I didn't get those kind of cues. I didn't know that she was taking out her trash. What's wrong with you? what is wrong? And some guys told me that my wife is always wrong once a month. I said, no, that's not a good excuse. Okay? Even though that's how God designed them, but that's not a good excuse. There are some other reasons. So we need to help each other not to dump trash to the other person. When we have trash, I know from the first couple of years of my college teaching, sometimes it took me almost by 1 or 2 a.m. to prepare classes. Oh, I still remember those days. And English is not my first language. So when I teach classes, I go home, I say, oh, I wish I could do something different. And I feel tense, I feel kind of sometimes frustrated. And I didn't deal with my frustration or disappointment from my classes, and I took those traits home. Does that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. So I took those trash home. My wife said, by the way, who offended you? Because my son saw me. He was 2 or 3 years old. He was so happy. I said, get away from me. He said, whoa. And when my wife just greeted me, I said, I don't want to talk. After a couple of times, my wife told me, when you have those kind of attitudes, you stay there. I don't care if you stay in the car, you dump out your trash, or whatever. Do whatever you need to do. Don't bring those trash home. I said, what do you mean? I don't like that attitude. I said, wow. She was not trained in family, but she knows more about family relationships than I do. I said, don't take those trash home. And when you deal with your spouse or children from time to time, we do have some anger, frustration, or unmet expectations, sometimes we need to talk, let it out, okay? And I like this idea. When something's not working, what do? Come on, guys, what do?
Fix it.
Fix it? Procrastinate. I'm so busy at church. Especially, you know, this guy is coming from Texas. How can I have some time this Saturday to fix something at home, right? Let me get rid of this guy next week. When he's gone, I can fix something. No. But we know, we say that, we fix it. When your toilet, one of your toilets is not working, what do? We fix it. However, what do a lot of people do in America when the marriage is not working?
Throw it away.
Good. What is your name? What?
Irene.
Okay. You're right. This is the culture. The culture seems to inform us when something's not working. Why bother? So I always like to use the analogy. When something's not working, do you put a like for sale sign in front of your house and say, I'm gone. I'm going to get a new house. Do you do that? Why not? This is a simple analogy. When something's not working in a house, we try to fix it. We try to fix ourselves. We try to ask brothers and sisters, hey, do you know how to fix this? What tools do we need? Or do you know where to get the parts I need? If you don't, then go to YouTube. There's some little things you can learn. We fix things. But for some reason, in marriage, in relationship, we procrastinate, we put off. Or we don't care. Or we just say, hey, I'm done. I'm gonna walk out the relationship. Do we see the contradiction here? We try everything to fix the house, to fix our car. But sometimes, husband and wife may not take the time to fix their marriage. Okay? So, this is a concept I talked about last night. God and people. We talk about God's love, and Leo summarized really well. In terms of why we need love, because we can never give a person something we do not have. you tell your wife, honey, I want to love you, but if there's not no or minimal love in your in you, how would you be able to love her? Same thing for the wife to love the husband. So John 15:9 indicates that Jesus said that I love you just like the way the Father loves me. So the analogy is that the Father's love, Heavenly Father's love, is perfect. It's complete. There's no nothing. So Jesus says that I love you just like the way my Father loves me. It's perfect love. So we have this kind of love poured down in us based on Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, by the power of Holy Spirit, I will pour out love to you. So when you feel like you do not have love, you cannot like or hug that he or she does things, you ask God. When you are calm, God, pour out your love in me, because I need that. Another analogy I always like to use is like a gas station. We all drive cars, right? When you run out of gas, what do? You don't kick your car. You don't curse your car. Say, what is going on? Old car? You go to gas station, you pump up gas. So when we need love, when we are lacking love, when we need patience, we go back to the station where God is and say, Lord, give me more. And he is always happy to bestow, to give, to impart, to give us what we ask for. Because the reason we are asking for love is to build relationship. To build relationship. And my belief is that when we try to build relationship in the love of God, we honor him. When we honor him, he's going to give us more love, more patience. And you know how he does that? He creates situations to test our patience and love. So when we know that God pours his love and we pray that we can love him more and more with all our heart, our might, our strength, and that's the greatest commitment. So this relationship is continuous. When we know God loves us, we want to love God more. And when we need love, we ask God to pour love into us so we can love other people, including our spouse. So it's important. A wise family builder goes to God first. God, I need you. That's why I pray to God many, many times a day. I say, God, I need you. Help me. I'm kind of weak. I'm running out of patience. Give me more. But you would accept and receive this kind of renewal. And that's how we are able to love our spouse and children. Otherwise, after some years of marriage, you feel kind of, wow, what's going on? Something is boring, it's dull, it doesn't go anywhere. You see the same person every year? Not every year, every day. And to a point, your spouse becomes your roommate. You feel that sometimes? And you cannot get rid of your roommate. Because we are Christians. So we ask God to pour out your love so I can love you. So when we love God, when we know how much God loves us, we can love our spouse. And when we feel weak, we can always go back to God and say, hey God, I'm sorry. I blew it. You knew I will blow it before you went to the cross. So it's not a surprise. But I'm coming back. I repent. I ask you for forgiveness. But we also ask forgiveness from our spouse and say, you're going to move on. So this relationship can grow. Okay? Let me read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. By the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as a wise builder. And some is building on it, but each one should build with care. So you cannot just throw anything there. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Okay? Pretty straightforward. Each person is called to be a builder. However, it depends on how you build your marriage. Paul says that we can build our relationship, whatever we do in this world, by using what materials? So there are two types in general, in big categories. Gold, silver, or costly stones. And some guys say, I already gave my wife a stone. I say, which kind? Diamond or kidney stone? No. What it means is that they are costly. You don't find gold everywhere. You don't find silver everywhere, or costly stones, which means it takes time. We need to invest. So a lot of people call those gold, silver, and costly stone investment. That's what wise builders need to do. We need to invest the best of ourselves in our relationship. But we can also use what? Wood. I always laugh at the way that Americans build house. They always use wood. When I tell my friends, we use concrete in Taiwan, right? And same thing in China and other Asia countries. But here, they use wood. Anyway, that's not my whole point. Wood, hay, or straw. Their work will be shown and revealed, but keep in mind, it will come fire. It's not like the natural fire, which means that your work will be tested. Okay? And how many of you like to receive reward? Only two? Three? For those who didn't raise your hand, you did. I love rewards. And if you know when God says reward, he means big. I don't mean big in size, but it's valuable. Okay? That's the reason Paul mentioned, I'm running the race to receive the reward that God will give me. The reward. As I stated last night, each of us needs to do the statements that God says to us. Faithful servant. Faithful servant. You are faithful in little things, and I'll give you more. You can sit with me. Our work will be tested. And because we are held accountable. Okay? I believe one day God will ask each one of us, because we are all married, right? God will ask us, okay, so and so. When you were on earth, how did you treat your husband? And he's going to play a videotape. Because nowadays, we get an idea when you have videotape from the beginning or the end, and you can watch this. Oh, I didn't know. Wow, that's the way I treated him. Wow, that was so nasty. Same thing. So don't, you know, guys, pretty. Another tape is saved for your husband. So I think he's going to show us that and ask us, anything you want to explain? And based on what we do, through the power of God, the grace of God, we will be judged. And that's why Paul said we need to run the race so we can receive the reward. But however, if we do not use costly materials, even though we as a person, as a believer, will survive, but what we have done here on this earth doesn't count in eternity. And that's pretty sad. So the more I pray about marital relationship, the more I pray to God, say, God, help couples to know that one day we need to hand in whatever we do in this world to you. But God knows that we are weak. He knows that we are pretty weak. That's why He gives us the word, the Bible, great mercy, so we can be wise builders. It's okay that sometimes in the past we use like kind of what I call cheap, really cheap materials, like wood, hay, and straw compared to those costly materials. That's okay. Move on. Ask God to show you where in my marriage I need to change. Where in my marriage I'm doing okay and I keep doing good things. Okay? So let's look at foundations. From something that cannot move or change, no matter what happens. I told my wife, I told my students, I told a lot of people. By God's grace, it's not because of my ability, by God's grace, I will not say the word divorce to my wife when something doesn't work. Or when I'm not feeling loved. That's the word I pray, say, God, help me not to use the word as a threat. You know how many Chinese people like to use the word divorce? If we cannot get along, let's get divorced. Don't say that. Build your marriage in the word of God. How? Stay together, spend time, pray together. I don't know how many couples that do spend time, even though it's only a couple minutes a day, that's fine. Spend time together. Pray, listen, and talk, and say, Lord, help me. I've been praying this prayer for many times. I say, Lord, help me to be a husband that you have created me to be. So I can build up my wife to be the woman that you have created her to be. Okay? Because many times we have heard pastors, ministers told us that God has a special plan for you, every one of us. And I pray to God, I say, God, I don't know fully what the special plan is for me and for my wife, but I want it. Help me. Help me. So it's two of you sit down together and just say, hey, we are married. We are together. What do we do now? If you're married 5 years, you begin to think, okay, we've been together 5 years. Are we still the same 5 years ago? And now, are we going anywhere? Do we know each other better? Do we talk? Do we spend time together? Do I care about her? How many of you do sit down and ask your spouse, say, how are you doing? Not ask for, it's not about the traffic, it's not about your job. It's like, you as a person, how are you doing as a person today? Okay? So it's really important to think, what do you build your marriage on? Have you thought about this question before? Some couples, they build their marriage on mortgages. Oh, we want a big house. That's our goal. As long as we get into a house, we are happy. That's pretty dangerous. Because if you have a job, stable job, that's not too difficult. Right? If you achieve that goal, what's next? Nothing else. You begin to find another goal, which is what? 401k? Or other things. No, you have to build something that cannot be changed, that cannot be moved, that can stay, and can build you two up. So it's also important to look, how do you nurture your marriage? Some of you may know, I moved to Texas. I mean, actually, close to Dallas, north of Dallas. And after I moved there, I just realized, when I lived in Pennsylvania, we always have basement. Do you have basement here?
No.
No? Some?
Yes.
In Dallas area, there's no basement because of the soil. And my, you know who is the happiest person in my family? When that person knows there's no basement in the house? You want to take a guess?
Your
no,
wife.
Not my wife. You want to hear the story? When we were in Pennsylvania, he was we moved into the house when he was 4, and when we moved there out of there almost when he was 8. Sometimes when he misbehaved, and one time I was really mad. I didn't want to spank him. I said, "Oh, okay. When you make those poor choices, you are walking in darkness." Sounds biblical, right? So okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna spank you. I'm not gonna ask you for time out. I'm gonna ask you to go down. I turn the lights on. I say, okay, my son's name is Isaiah. Okay, I say, go down. I want to make sure the lights is, you know, are on and there safely. What are you gonna do? I said, I'm not gonna tell you. He went down. I said, I'm gonna turn the lights off and let you feel what it means to be in darkness. So I turned the lights off and shut the door. And he was there for almost like a minute. He didn't like it. He said, oh, help me. I said, I didn't respond. I was just sitting there saying, Lord, help me. I gotta be quiet. So this kind of basement deal will work. He didn't like that. So when we moved to Texas, he said, yeah, no basement. No more basement deal. But without that foundation, the house has no value. When a house foundation is cracked or moved or whatever, most likely nobody wants to buy the house. We know that, right? But how many of us do take the time to examine the foundation of our marriage? Your foundation is not based on the marriage license. Right? How many of us did take the time to say, God, do we actually build our marriage on you and you alone? It might sound really big, but are we drawn closer to God? I've been married almost 15 years. Before I was married to my wife, I told her, I said, one thing you need to keep praying for me is that pray that I will get closer and closer to God. When I'm closer to God, you don't have to worry about whether I love you or not. I'm going to love you no matter what. But when I'm not close to God, even though I'm busy in ministries, I may not love you. So I reminded her, pray, continue to pray for me that I'll spend time with God on a daily basis. Stay close and close to God. Because when we are close to God, God is going to reveal things to us. Say, hey, you know, you say that you love me. How about the way you treat your wife? Okay? So it's important to think about what we actually do to nurture marriage. You take time. When your spouse is weak, physically or emotionally, or him, because I know to guys, it takes time to listen to our struggles. If you ask him, how are you doing? Fine, good. So you gotta use different ways to really let guy talk. It takes time, okay? So commitment is about God's promise, and we do not quit when pleasure and good feelings are not present all the time. It took me a while to find that clip. See a baby on a diaper with a lot of tools around? In early stages of a marriage, it's just like a baby. So many things can happen. When a baby gets sick, it takes time to recover. Same thing with a young marriage. Sometimes even if you don't feel those kind of feeling, it shouldn't change the way that we love our spouse, our children, okay? Just like the way that sometimes we don't feel that God loves us, but He still loves us. So marriage cannot depend on feelings. I like a gentleman made a comment. He said, I may not feel like what she does, but I still love her. Okay? You may not feel like everything that she does or he does that you agree with, but it shouldn't change the way that we love them. We love ourselves. Okay, the care of families and individual identity is commitment to endurance. Lord, give me patience. Give me endurance. He said, well, what do you mean by endurance? Paul prayed prayer in Romans, so endurance will create, produce hope. That's why we pray. Lord, give me patience, perseverance, love, all the characters I need in order to be the child of God, to be the man of God, to be the husband of God. And same thing for the lady as well. You know, each person is playing a crucial because you are the only person who can build up your spouse. Another analogy that I like to use is that when you have a job, I believe your boss can find another person to replace you pretty quick. Maybe next day. So especially for guys, don't feel like this job is for you and for you only. No one can replace you. Sometimes we tell ourselves, oh, how important I am. Look, without me, the company will close. No, no way. But no one is able to replace the influence, the role, the love that you are able to show to your spouse and your children. Think for a moment. That's very important. That is so important. Okay? You are the one who can influence. You are the one who can build up your spouse. And you have the blueprint. And sometimes you may not feel like doing so. That's why we need fellowship. We need brothers and sisters. We need each other. You know? I was talking to Brother Faye this morning. I say, sometimes, brothers, we struggle. That's why we need each other to build up, to talk, say, hey, I'm struggling too. I just had a fight with my wife, or I had a bad day with my son or my daughter. That's normal. So we know each other, we build each other up, we pray for each other, and we can grow. So foundation is so important. Let's look at six qualities of family cohesion. It's a scholar by David Olson. He said, there are six important things. Communication. Communicate appreciation for one another. It's pretty common that we treat our spouse as a servant. And some people may use a different word, slave, with no pay. How many times we appreciate to waiter and waitresses? We even tip them, right? But how many times we say thank you, really from our heart? Thank you for you spending time to take care of our children. Thank you to appreciate. Thank you to be there for me. And thank you. I always tell people, half of my PhD diploma belongs to my wife. You know why? When I arrived in Tennessee, my wife she's a planner. She has so many plans. So when we arrived in Tennessee, she said, let's take out the catalog and see what classes you need. I said, okay, sure. Because she got her master's way before I did, so I listened to her. We sit down and we just really map out. And she said, does that sound good to you? I said, fine. I said, present it to your major professor. I said, what do you mean? Tell what we want to do, and we want to graduate in how many years? I said, wow, you are pretty brave. Did I graduate according to her, through God's grace? Yes, I did. But when I look back, I said, how did I do that? Without her, it's almost impossible. Because the first semester when I was in PhD program, my mother-in-law had a stroke. And my wife is the only daughter that my mother-in-law has. So you know how stressful she was.
and by God's grace that we went through, we pulled together and finished my study as an international student. So I always tell her, I appreciate the sacrifice you did. I appreciate the wisdom God has given to you. Planning. And I appreciate that you are willing to sit down with me to give me those kind of work. And to say things that involves risk. Because sometimes when she says something, I'm not happy to say, who is in the PhD program? You are, right. Go ahead. But afterwards, I always regretted what I said to her. So appreciation is so important. Sometimes we forget. But it's okay, just go back and say, thank you. But you know what, guys? The more appreciation deep from our heart we share it with our spouse, the more blessed we become. I know from my experience when I appreciate my wife for what she did, she always cooked better meal for me. Did you have those kind of experiences? No? Brother Phil, she treats me very different. So this guy means something. I said, okay. I appreciate her. I say things to her. But sometimes I forget. I don't do that all the time, but really important. Also, arrange personal skills so you can do things together. Go out together, spending time together. It's really hard to know the other person without spending quality time and quantity time. How possible is that you only spend 15 minutes a week and you say, I really know my wife? No, it's hard. So both quality and quantity time, it's important. But also have a high degree of commitment. Have some spiritual orientation, because this is research done by scholars, so it's not, you know, entirely based on Bible, but a lot of good important things that they found. They were able to deal with crisis. This is so important, the crisis. The way that we deal with crisis shows our emotional maturity, our conflict resolution skills, our stress management. Okay? So also have positive communication patterns. All of us are married, otherwise I'll tell you some tips, because it's too late. You will not choose. Or you can advise your friends, or someone who is not married in this church. The way that we see a person's emotional maturity is to see how he or she deals with situations. Okay? When a person is really stressed out, you need to know how he deals with the stress. Okay? Some people may turn to alcohol. Others may begin to really say nasty things. Some individuals can be punitive or abusive. Others may be just really quiet. But I think being quiet is better than the other three. So it's important, really, in the least, to know how he or she deals with stressful situations. That is so important, because when you are married, there are so many things that can really stress you out. Okay? So, the second thing, once you have laid a foundation, okay? And we need to check the foundation from time to time. It's not like one and it. No. We're going to check whether we are back to the foundation. We are still maintaining our foundation. And this is what I learned in Texas. Because it's kind of like the slate, slab of concrete. We need to water the concrete from time to time. Otherwise, the soil may be too dry, it can crack. However, if you water too much water, it may expand the foundation. So it's not good. Either no water or too much water. So we've got to take care of that. But the second thing is important. Let's just visually picture that there's a foundation there. Okay? Your marriage. But there's no walls or doors yet. Roof. So both of you need to talk about and decide what it means by walls, windows, and roof. What I mean by walls is the protection and boundary for your marriage. This is based on my theories. I'm not going to get into theories, family theories, but boundaries means that who is coming in and who is out. So the husband talk about most likely the relationship with opposite sex individuals, how guys deal with ladies, how ladies, you know, treat other guys, boundaries. Or boundaries with in-laws, some things that should be kept between you and me. We gotta deal with those. Some other things we can talk to our in-laws, okay? But some other things should be kept out forever. Temptations. I'm gonna get into those. So we always know to check our doors and windows to avoid bugs, right? Thieves and other things. But in our marriage, do we check our relationship, the way that we deal with other people, the way that we handle things? I have those two. Okay, Leo. So it's really important. There are so many things husband and wife can talk about. You need to watch. Here's the key. Watch what and who comes in. Especially nowadays, like internet. Many guys just spend hours just reading articles, reading newspapers, and just surfing. I know some other guys just like to go to Best Buy all the time, or Amazon, eBay, just look, oh, another camera, or another things. That's okay. But sometimes we are drifted to other things. So as husband and wife, we need to really spend time and be, okay, this is going on in our relationship. We guys need to talk about that. What is not allowed? My wife has a friend. The family is running a restaurant in a different state. And the business was great. She was told on a regular Friday night, they can earn the net income $3,000 just one night. $3,000 is almost one month of my income. Wait! Okay? So if you multiply like four Friday nights, it's $20,000. And it's not counting those lunch and dinner, so you can guess how much money they were making a month. Right? A lot. Life got pretty comfortable. And you know what this guy did? He went to casino. Okay? I mean, initially, what's a big deal? $100 is nothing, right? Because they were able to make $3,000 just each Friday night. Slowly, gradually, day in and day out, guy used all his credit card limits. And the family filed bankruptcy. Can you imagine that? They were able to make $3,000 almost each Friday night. And the family had to move out of the because the bank took their house. The credit card company, the creditors came after them. And they were poor. They are poor. It's because they didn't watch. He didn't watch what is going on, what's coming in. So I always tell guys, if you want to take my advice, if you don't, that's fine. It will not offend me. I always tell guys, let your wife know how much money you have. My wife knows exactly how much money I have cash in my wallet. She knows. I'm pretty transparent to her. Because when she knows, it's an additional layer of protection. She knows every receipt that I bring home. It's not because she wants to control and dominate, because I want to keep myself transparent. It's a double layer of protection and safety for myself and for my marriage. Okay? Because I know a lot of guys will be faithful to their marriage, but when we have money, sometimes guys do not know what to do, right? We have money, we have free time, everything goes well, just like King David. What did he do? Wandering around, looking for trouble. So, not only have a solid foundation, build up your wall, the husband and wife need to talk about what that wall means. who can come in, what can come in, and who is not supposed to come in at all. Some of your friends are good, but other friends you would say, hey, okay, let's be friends outside. They would not come to our house because their value system, the way they live their life, okay? I'm not saying that you don't want to be friends with them, but keep certain distance, okay? But also, Ruth is a courage. Courage is just like our pastors, our mentors at a church. They guide us. So nothing will just fall in from the sky, just damage the house. Okay? You need coverage. That means we need pastors. We need brothers and sisters who walked with the Lord in a mature way to be with us, to walk with young couples. Young doesn't mean age. Young means in their marriage. Just walk with them. Say, I'll pray with you. I'll just walk with your couple. So I encourage you, this church, for those that experienced or matured in marriage and in faith, begin to think about to adopt one or two young couples. Say, hey, would you mind coming to my house for dinner? And just begin to be friends with them. Build them up. This is a form of discipleship training. When you build up their relationship, they become strong couple, and they will be good co-workers to the pastors, to the community, and to the kingdom of God. So marriage mentors, Ruth is so important. And I would wish, besides pastors, ministers, deacons, our parents can be the mentors, but sometimes this is not the training or the concept they have. When parents talk to us, they say, oh, how do you deal with your job? How do you take care of my grandchildren? Because of the culture. It's not because they don't want to. It's because they are not taught. Okay, in this manner. So, my prayer is that our church will begin to build relationship, build marriages. Marriages are happy, healthy, and rooted in the faith of God. This person is going to be productive at work. This person will be co-worker to the pastors and to brothers and sisters, and that person will be quite effective in the community. So walls, we know how to build houses, right? Like that. A lot of people are like, wow, that's what I want. Yes. A physical house is not too difficult. It's not difficult. As long as you have a good job, nice paying job, we can always go out to buy a nice house. Not difficult. However, the difficult part is that to move into this physical house, you are able to build the house, the relationship. And so you can enjoy the physical house that God has given you as a blessing. Have you ever being invited to a family's house, families for like gathering or dinner, when you stay here, you just want to get out. No. One time that we were invited to a family's, I just look at her. She knew what I meant. After we finished the meal, we said, we gotta go. You feel like the tension. You feel that the air was so down, and we feel something's wrong, but you don't know what it was. And those kind of family, they may live in big house, expensive house, and you feel like, oh, awkward. They may serve you really nice food. But some other families, you stay there, and you just talk and talk. Wow, it's 11 p.m. What is going on? And they didn't serve you those expensive food or nice meal, but you just feel like you feel comfortable. You feel like you're welcome. You feel like you can pour your heart to this couple. That's the type of household I'm talking about. That's the type of household God can bless you to have abundant life. But it takes time. It takes time to build. Okay? And the triangular theory is that a marriage involves three different important elements. Intimacy, passion, commitment. Our parents' generation most likely is heavily this area. They are heavily committed. Okay? They don't talk about divorce. They may not talk about divorce and say, hey, I'm just going to stay here until I die. They are heavily committed. They are entirely committed. But we rarely see intimacy. How many of you ever see your parents hold hands? You did? Wow! You're late. Edward, right? Edward. Otherwise, we don't want to get close to him or her. So, I still remember what you said to me last week. I still remember the look you gave to me. Wait, see how, how I retaliate. But we can remove those. When you remove those obstacles, you will be drawn close to each other. Pray to God, say, God, I'm lacking love now. Help me. Why do I have this kind of feeling toward my wife or my husband? I see him with kind of wrath or anger. Help me to understand. Is there anything I do to my feelings? Then we can go to her. We can go to her and we can go to ourselves. I want to intentionally show some appreciation and affection in front of my wife and my son. He always tells us, you two look like sandwich. I want to be the cheese. I said, no way. He said, you take like 2 pieces of bread. He said, I want to be in the middle. Like the cheese. I said, go wife, you are wrong. I've been taking this with my wife. She is special. She said, love you. I love you. I said, I'm upset. I said, wife comes from your house before mother. It's intimacy. It could be physical intimacy. It's also emotional intimacy. Okay? Guys, we need to learn how to express emotions and stuff to us. Listen. That is something. Anytime I talk about intimacy, guys think about sex. No, that's not all sexual intimacy. It's emotional intimacy, social intimacy, and another thing that a lot of ladies and sisters told me. Spiritual intimacy is so important. When brothers demonstrate the walk with the Lord, wife will be drawn to this part of the spirit because she will be happy to be led by this man who walks with God. It's important. When he submits himself before the Lord, he should be a typical under him. Or not, should under submit to him. Okay? And the passion is that you experience when you see your passion excited. I asked this question last night. How many of you get excited? I'm saying every single minute, okay? How many of you get excited when you see your spouse? One, two. I didn't need any hands for guys. I'm excited. Get excited when we get loaded. Many times God say, God, give me the passion. The passion that you have as the way you love me. You know, God, he's really excited when he sees every one of us. He's delighted in you. I love you. And he's excited. But we are sure it is. However, commitment is like a mission. It's almost beneficial. You miss God, commit to your marriage, commit to your spouse, say, I love you. Which marriage is it no matter what marriage? No matter what happens, I'm good. The reason I'm here is God. God is here. Okay? Effective ways to avoid infidelity. I've asked these questions from time to time. I believe most, or maybe every brother and sister will not say or determine today, say, okay, I'm going to have an affair today. I'm going to go out to sleep with a woman or a man. No. Slowly and gradually. Because it's weak and damn. Then we didn't pay attention. Say, oh, yeah. I can be this kind of situation. So I always tell myself, I could have an affair. I've never had an affair. Okay, so I have to admit. But I admit to myself, it is possible. It is very possible. So I will guard. I will pay attention to my relationship with God, with my spouse, and say, oh, can I be here? I set a boundary, just like the way I talk about walls and windows and door. So it's important to prioritize your marriage. Tell your spouse what happened. The other day I told my wife, in September we kind of switched to AT&T internet, high speed internet. I didn't call this internet. I have a pretty good memory to memorize that number because I was trained as a radio man in Taiwan on the ship. So I memorized digital 4 digit codes. So it's kind of average. So I told my wife, I remember so many phone numbers. And one day when she was out work, she has a part-time job, so she said, we have some problem with our bill. Why don't you call AT&T because they charge like $39? Actually, we should be charging $16. That's a big difference, right? And so based on my number, I said, oh yeah, that would be my AT&T phone number. When I dialed the number, I said, oh, I was shocked. Welcome to an exciting hold on. Yeah, I was alone by myself. My son was at school, my wife was at work, and I was there by myself in my office. I said, whoa, what is going on? I thought it was AT&T phone number. I need a bill. I just said, why? This must be a phone number. Because I remember the number. When I dialed 1-800-28-something, I remember which number I dialed. I hung up. But when I looked at the bill, it was very similar. And it could be a vision. And last semester, when I was in my office at the university, I was Googling something because my son was playing, so I forgot whether I need to look for a uniform or something for him. So I just typed it. I click. The first page came up. I closed right away. Women that I was not supposed to see. Because I stay holy, and I'm to see the toilet. To be honest, it's not because I'm not. The reason I'm not allowed is I don't want to. And some people say you're not allowed to see those things in your office, but you can do those things at home. No, I don't want to. I don't. So when I close that window, I email the IT person. I say, so-and-so, I didn't mean to visit a website, but it just came up. I want to let you know. Because I know they monitor their staff. You know, the website said we visited, even though I was there only for 1 second, because I didn't. So I let them know. I told my wife. But I keep it as a secret. Or I don't treat it as little thing or nothing. So, hey, what's a big deal? I can handle it. No, I told my wife. Tell her. Second thing, avoid temptation. This has never, I shouldn't say never, it didn't click my mind before. But one day when I was doing, I'm a faculty member, so we have advising. Most students are females. Okay? And so, I help them to find the classes they need. And one day, a lady came to my office. I look at her, I know, her shirt is pretty visible. So I told her, careful, gotta be careful. I didn't say that out loud to her. I told myself, because you don't want to see something that you're not supposed to, and you don't want to see. So I need to show her something here about the classes in her transcript. And she was bending down to pull a chair, I turn away. And you know what? I went home and told my wife. She said, I was almost tempted today in my office. I said, what happened? She was so indignant. She said, a lady just pulled her chair and tore my computer. And if I wanted, I might be able to see something. But to be honest, who knows? And those things are in my mind from time to time. And I told God, I don't want those. I don't want my mind to be polluted. And those little things I didn't pay attention to, but begin to find that God showed me something. You gotta be careful for those kind of things. Even they look kind of little, minor. Nothing, no one knows. Nothing's gonna happen, but that's so important. Avoid temptation. Because especially for guys, what we see, stay there. It's like our CPU. And those memories way that easily. You stay there, okay? You stay there. So, okay, careful. And I found what helped me a lot is that I tell my wife, you want to listen to what happened in my office? Yeah. And I begin to tell her. I say, pray for me. Pray for me. So when I advise students, when I walk, when I do things, I feel clean in my heart. I feel clean in my mind. I feel clean when I come home to see you as my only wife. That's life, my life. Okay? So I told her. I said, hey, pray for me. Otherwise, I'll be tempted. I'll be struggling. And also know your boundaries. That's important. Things that you can do, things you will never do. The best. Talk among each other. Okay? My wife and I, we are leading a small group because we have like 21 small groups in my church. And my pastor asked my wife and I to be one of the group leaders. So I told my wife, if possible, would you mind to call the sisters in our group? So I'll call the brothers unless I have to. Okay? But if I call those like six ladies in my group, I always tell her what I spoke to, what talked to them. So she knows. That's protection. That's accountability. That's important. And also, no conflict resolution. When you have anger, when you have conflict, take time to resolve it. Okay? Because when you have conflict, you feel kind of strange toward your spouse. And this is important, guys and ladies, gentlemen. Do not share your marital conflict with your co-worker, especially the opposite gender. This is what happened many times. Because when we have conflict with our spouse, when you go to work or you come to church, and you tell another lady, I'm talking about guys, it's, oh, you know, I had a fight with my wife, and this one, and you know what? She's going to say something that will touch your heart. And you begin to feel like she knows you, she understands you better than your wife. And most likely people dress up, put some perfume, so, wow. And we have those kind of false images. Oh. And slowly and gradually, if you talk to her one time, two times, three times, you mean, she loves me better than my wife. The opposite will be the same. Ladies to guys, they say, wow, this guy is so gentle. This guy understands. He's a different man. He's the real man I'm looking for. You may not say that, but in your mind, you admit. This is something we gotta be careful. Be careful. I would rather you talk to another lady if you're a woman. And guy, talk to another brother. Say, hey, please keep it confidential and don't call my wife. I'm struggling in my marriage over those issues. Help me. I need some prayer. I need some support. This is what we need to build, family relationship and ministry. And also rekindle romance. Sit together. This is the time that you need to find in-laws. If you have in-laws calls, and you say, hey, you know, so-and-so, my husband and I, we need to go out tonight. Can you come over just for 3 hours? And you know what? When my wife and I did, you know, when we were in Ohio, we didn't have kids. So we volunteered to watch kids, three kids for a couple. They would never go out at all. That's what they told us. So we said, we volunteer. And this couple felt awkward. You know where they went? You want to take a guess? 3 hours. They went to Walmart. We spent 3 hours. Tonight you went to Walmart to just buy a grocery store and just come back. That's wrong. What did you do? What's going on? So after some time, we because we knew this couple pretty well, and we went to their house. Now before we went to their house, I said, tonight, we're going to watch your kids. You go out. And this time it's better. They went out for a movie. Together. Better than grocery shopping. Okay? Why spending time is so important to a marriage is because when you are together, you look into each other's eyes, you care about the other person. That's how relationship can bond. It's a different layer of protection. It's a different layer of romance. And the more you spend to each other, you know, the more time you spend to each other and to talk, to appreciate, the more you're gonna draw to each other. You know? I like a statement, English statement, say out of sight, out of mind. So we need to plan to, you know, spending time together as a couple. That's what we call couple bond, you know, bonding, rekindle romance. Just think about the things you enjoy doing before you have kids. The things that you like to do, take a walk, do other things. My wife and I, we always spend time together talking. Just talk. We enjoy talking. We do things. And because of my job, I don't have to go to my office every single day, so I see her often. But to some other people, you may not have this kind of schedule, but you take the opportunity, if you have young children, when they go to bed, try to spend time with your wife. Try to spend time with your husband, but don't question him, how is your day? What did you do? No, just, you know, stay together and just talk. Say, hey, I see that you look tired today. Are you okay? You know? And this kind of statement is not questioning, it's not kind of get something from him or her, but it's just, I really care about you. I love you.
don't know what's going on with you. Anything I can do? Or anything I shouldn't say?
Okay. Plumbing. When something is not running in your house, it stinks. So how well a couple communicates before marriage can predict later marital satisfaction. Conflict is inevitable. So do not try to avoid conflict, because you can bury something, eventually it will emerge. But keep in mind, we do not solve every conflict right away, because of time and place. Okay? So new ways can be learned to make it go smoothly, because many times when I look at the Chinese families, we learn how to solve conflict from our parents. Some parents, they just yell, and they never resolve. They just yell, and they didn't take time to say, okay, now we have this problem, what should we do? My father is this kind of person. My mom is a person really laid back. And I remember when I was young, my mom always liked to cook something and just keep it really low. And she would go to read a newspaper or something, and she forgot. Okay? And then what happened? It burned. And when it burned, because she didn't work, she took care of the whole house and three kids. I have one older brother, one sister. She felt tired. And my father was really responsible. So when he came home, he said, oh, you burnt the pot? And he would kind of nag in the kitchen. You know what he did? After nagging some time, he always washed the pot. This is the type of thing, some scholars call this kind of like dance. One just nag, the other one was quiet. This has been going on for years. When my mom burnt the pot, she knows he's going to clean. Burnt? Clean, burn, clean, burn, clean.
That's my life.
As a kid, I didn't see any resolution. No resolutions. I just keep going on and on and on. But some other couples, when they look at their parents, when they have disagreement, they both keep quiet. They hope things will go away and smooth out. So indirectly, we learned, okay, that's a way that we handle things. But no matter whether you handle it like volatilely or quietly, we can still relearn new ways. Talk to your spouse. Tell something that we haven't agreed. Can we talk? And sometimes the spouse says, no, I don't want to talk now. Okay, what about tomorrow night? I'm not ready. What about next week? Just wait. But always go back to visit the issue. Oh, by the way, I will give Adam all the files that I've been talking about these couple of days. I have 5 files, so if you like, you can just talk, you know, contact Adam. So if you don't want to take notes, that's fine, because there are so many things you can just copy. And the way that guidelines that to fight is that we don't want to attack each other, because when you attack your spouse, you are attacking your marriage. When she feels bad, when he feels bad, both of you will feel bad. It's not good for your marriage at all. Keep this in mind, okay? Always try to find ways to strengthen your marriage with reasonable ways to fight, to disagree. Focus on the time and focus on the issue. Do not try to drag the things that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, okay? One time I went to California to do like retreats. And at lunchtime, a lady came to me. Actually, she's a pastor's wife. I didn't see the pastor. But the pastor's wife told me that they've been married for almost like 30 years. But husband still mentioned something that happened on the day when they were married. I said, what? 30 years and he's still talking about that? I said, what happened? Tell me, please. For some reason, when they were married, the wife's parents decided not to come to their wedding. And both are Chinese. So to him, that was an insult. Your parents decided not to come to my marriage? And he held it for over 30 some years. When they had a disagreement, he typically brings up this issue. I still cannot remember, I still cannot understand why your parents did not want to come to our marriage. He couldn't get over it. So whenever they have a little fight about this and that, he always bring up the issues like 10, 15, 30 years ago. It hurts. And the pastor's wife was sitting there saying, it still hurts me. And she doesn't know what to do. And all I could do was listen. I was listening to her. Okay? So focus on that. And I think this is so important, number 7. Be willing to change yourself. That's one of the prayers I pray to God. I say, God, is there any way that I need to change so I can be a better husband in your eye? Show me. Show me, please. Sometimes I don't like it because it's painful. I need to change. I need to say sorry to my wife. But I'm willing. I say, God, give me grace. Give me mercy so I can change the way that you intended me to be. Okay? And it's also important, based on research, I'm not going to talk about which article, but based on research, when couples fight, you know, when couples fight, it will hurt children, but how it helps children a lot is that after they fight, after some time, they will come together to resolve it in front of children. Say, so-and-so, I'm sorry. I say, you know, I bad mouth about you. I was angry. I lost my temper. I did something. I'm really sorry. When couples do this kind of things, kind of conflict resolution in front of children, we set a good model for kids to know that it's okay to disagree, but we always come together to resolve this issue. This is so important. Research has found this model, social modeling, helps children a lot. What troubles children to develop depression or antisocial conduct is that they see parents fight and fight and fight, and it doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. No resolution. You just see so many things got escalated. Disagreement for everything. And it really scare children about relationships. You know what? Kids are not so fragile. That's not the way God created children. They are pretty durable. As long as we did something not according to God's will, we come back and say, hey, I'm sorry. Repent and help, forgive, move on. So when I learned this from research and also from the Bible, when I disagree with my wife, my voice get really loud. Later on, we always come together in front of my son and tell them, we made a bad example. Don't learn this from us. We made a bad example. I'm sorry. Even though I had a disagreement with my wife, but I still say sorry to my son. I said, because this affects you too. Sorry. And he was so happy. He said, oh, I already forgive you. Don't worry. I forgive you. Psalm 19:14. May these words of my mouth means what we said. And this meditation of my heart, our thought life, be pleasing in your sight. That means pleasing to God. Whatever we say to God, say to our spouse, or our thought life, need to be pleasing to God. This should be our prayer. This is a prayer that David has prayed. Lord, help me. Help me. When I'm thinking about my spouse, what I'm saying to my spouse is good to you. Okay? And those factors can stop, such as like preaching to our spouse, advising, persuading, reassuring, withdrawing. Those kind of things can stop the flow of communication. And many times, I think, they just need us to sit down and listen. Listen to me. That's important. You know, when you do not listen to your spouse, eventually they may turn to counselors. It costs you almost $120, $150 an hour. Right? So I always advise to couples, why don't you just sit down and listen and say, okay, yes, tell me more. Yeah, go ahead. That's all you need to say. You save $120 an hour. Good deal, huh?
So managing conflict, whoever is voicing a complaint might do so gently, and receiver needs to be willing to listen. You say, I feel upset when you say something to me at church. Again, you need to find a place and time when you know that your spouse, your husband, wife is not tired, is not angry. Okay, it's not, because I know from my experience, I'm married almost 15 years. When my wife is busy cooking, I don't say anything. Can we talk now? No, of course not. I always wait when I see a smile on her face, when she's not tired, when she's happy, say, hey, can we talk about something? Say, what? Good result. Learn from my mistake. And both partners need to do what they can to de-escalate. That's so important. You don't want to really escalate your voice. Escalate, you know, or try to find your point. You want to escalate. Okay, I know you're upset. Can we talk? I know you're upset, but can we sit down now? No. Okay, sure. Let's just wait. Can we talk when all the kids are asleep? Our job is trying to de-escalate the conflict, the fight, but not to avoid conflict. My point is not, we do not try to avoid conflict, just sweep everything under carpet. No, you've got to wait to kind of confront, to face the disagreement or differences. It has to be addressed. So the words of the reckless speak like swords, like that. Whatever you say can pierce to his or her heart or emotion. However, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Can you imagine that? This statement mentioned that what we said by the grace of God can bring healing to our spouse, or to children, or even to our brothers and sisters. It's like medicine. This is so powerful. Whether we present a knife, a sword, or some medication, just by the way you say things. Powerful. So I think we can change this verse to be a prayer. Lord, help me, my words to be healing. Okay? And another thing that sometimes couples do is that stone wallers. You know who is more likely to do this, guys or ladies? According to research, guys are more likely to do this. Okay, guys. Because soldiers may fear rejection or retaliation and therefore hesitate to acknowledge their own. Because guys, many times we don't know how to voice our emotions. And also according to biological makeup, when we hear those kind of voices nagging, our heartbeat goes faster. And our body tells our brain, say, you better run, something may happen. So we begin to be quiet. Okay? That's what we do. So it's really important. Sometimes you feel tense. And ladies, please, do not go after your husband when he's quiet. Say, tell me, explain. No, just wait. I found from literature, from research, that sometimes domestic violence happens because the ladies just keep going after the guy. I need to explain. I need you to talk to me now. Right now, now. And just keep husband. But he doesn't have any word to say because his mind goes blank. And it doesn't mean that they want to be violent, but they just want to turn off the volume. So sometimes they became violent. That's not ideal. So this is a loop that you can see. If you like this model, you can ask Adam to print a copy for you. Just basically just go through these steps to how to resolve a conflict. Come to some options and just talk about the options, some pros and cons, and pick one that both of you think may work. And try it for some time, and if that one doesn't work, go back to other options and pick another one. Just keep trying, okay? And pray too. So furnace, it's about passion. If it's too hot, it's not good. If it's too cold, it's not nice. So a couple needs to communicate the temperature between you and your spouse. How you feel about each other. How you communicate your love. Let the other person feel that you're loved. He or she is loved, appreciated, okay? And now we talk about foundations, walls, doors, and roof, right? Plumbing, furnace. I put decoration as number 5. Are decoration important?
Without decoration, a house may look plain, but it's a house. It's solid. It stays there. Decorations make house look better. Right? So, they are pretty, but not the most important items, such as flowers. Flowers are good. But we cannot use flowers to build our relationship, marriage. Chocolate, nice trips, tools, Rolex, you know. It took me a while to find this one. That's really expensive. It's like $70,000. Rolex. This is what I found in American culture. Okay? You think, oh, the reason we don't feel like, you know, loving each other is because, oh, we need something else. We need a trip. We need this. I need this to present to my wife or husband and to bring some excitement. But excitement will not keep a marriage last. This is what I call decoration. Okay? Decoration is important, but it's not the ultimate solution for a strong, healthy marriage. But like I said to guys last night, it's great from time to time to bring flowers and other little present to your wife. Unpredictable. Okay? So, builder's life warranty is coming from God. God has a lifetime warranty for every marriage as long as we stay close to Him. Look up, you know, backward to see Christ dying for you. That's assurance. That's a warranty. Okay, look upward, see Christ pleading for you. Now He's still praying for each one of us. Say, Lord, pray for my marriage. I know you are praying. Look inward, see Christ living in you. You are in myself, so I can. It's because of you. That's the reason my subtitle is that you can do it. God can help. As long as we come before God and say, I need help. I need your help. Please. And look forward. See Christ coming for you. You know how exciting it is? When we are able to present our marriage to God, one day say, God, I'm weak. By your grace, I want to be the husband, the man that you created me to be. And I love the wife, the husband that you give to me. It's the way you want me to love, by your grace and power. That's a warranty we have. And by choosing the material, we can be smart, wise builders. So, conclusion, this is my last page. Marriage is a calling that God has given to many, many Christians. Not every Christian is married. So that's the reason I put down many Christians. It's a calling. It's a calling that we are responsible. It's an excitement. It's a ministry. And also, this is the primary context where we can help one another live out the person God has intended us to be. You know what? This is exciting. Marriage is like treasure hunt. You never know a lot of treasures your spouse has received from God. Maybe he or she does not even know. You are the one who helps discover those treasures, talents. You know? Be a spirit-filled builder who builds a marriage that will count in eternity. And by doing so, you and your spouse get a good example. Set a good example for your children to become good marriage builders. Okay? One day, when your kids come to you, say, Mom and Dad, I want the marriage that you have. I want to build a family just like you and Dad, you and Mom. That's the type of marriage I want. When your kid has this kind of concept or idea, you do not have to worry about them to go out for drugs, premarital sex, and other things, because they know that's not what they want. That's a guarantee. So try to build your marriage first to a point that emulate love, passion, and mercy. So your kids can be built up, and they themselves in the future will be wise marriage builders. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your love. You love us, no matter how we do, what we do, but we love you. We want to love you. God, I know every one of us here loves you because you first love us. Give us more love. Give us truth in your word so we will run the race with our spouse, with our children, to follow Jesus and Jesus only. Thank you so much. And I pray that you will print your word into our heart. Strengthen us so we have the ability to love our spouse by loving you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
I would like to thank you, Dr. Wang, again for his message. And I pray that because of you, through Dr. Wang's message, has touched your heart, and first in the world, and it's something to take home and feel on. And you can turn to God's love and grace and heal on that marriage. And do we have time for Q&A or time press? We can do both.